Okay, Rabbos Hashem Aleichem. Today's daf is Sukkah Daf Dalid. And we're here at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, two lines up at the two dots. Just one quick programming note. I will be traveling tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, for a couple of weeks. I do hope to be uploading pretty regularly as I can, but there's a chance that I'll miss a couple of days here or there, just with the time difference and the travel, etc. So that's just coming up. But right now, we have to learn Daf Dalid, and we have a very exciting Daf today, I think, because you get to learn a lot of the halachos, halachos Moshe Mesinai mostly, that determine, right, different ways of making a sukkah kosher or not. So let's get to it. I think it's pretty cool stuff. Says the Gemara, Haisa gavoh me'eshrim ama uba lamata. Now let's say, again, we talked about, right, that the 20 amos is the highest amount, right, the highest, the height of a sukkah can be. And let's say you have a 20 amos sukkah, so it's kind of tough, right, to get a ladder and bring the schach down. So what's the other thing you could do? The other thing you could do is you could raise the bottom, right? You could raise the floor. Now the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of, it gets a little complicated. It's going to suggest that there are three possibilities in terms of items that you could use to raise the floor, right? You're not going to dig up the floor. You're going to put stuff on the bottom, right, and just kind of walk all over that. So then, obviously, if it's 20 amos and you raise the floor, you put, let's say, some stuff down on the floor, so then it's less than 20 amos, so then your sukkah is good. So there can be different items that you put on the floor, and depending on what item that is, that will indicate whether that's good or not, because people are prone to leave things on the floor if they're not valuable. And they're not prone to leave other items on the floor, as we'll see in a second. Another consideration that Gemara is going to bring in, where it gets complicated, is that it depends on a person's intention. If a person has intention to be mevatel, but totally batel, right, the item is batel to the floor, we're leaving it, he has intention, so that usually will work, except in the first case, which we'll see in a second. If a person has no intention whatsoever, that's also going to be an issue. Okay, so let's just, with that, with, it gets a little complicated, so just let's take it step by step. So, you want to make the floor higher, and thereby make your sukkah lower, right? Make your sukkah less than 20 amos. So, bikarim uvksasos, if you're going to use pillows, so lo havimiyah, so that doesn't count, right? Afogav divitlinu lekulhu. Right. Even though, right, you're mevatel, even though you say, okay, these pillows, they're staying there, I'm mevatel them, right, they're going to be part of the floor, right, for the kulhu, for all 7 days of the antif, right, sukkah is right in there, it's still 7 days. So the Gemara says, that's no good. Why? Mishum debatel daito eitzel kol adam, because his intention is nothing compared to everybody else, meaning nobody just leaves pillows on the floor for 7 days. That's not a thing. We're concerned that you will come to pick it up, and that's not considered as if you permanently raised the floor of the sukkah. So pillows are out. You can't use pillows, right? Even if you want to be mevatel them, pillows are not useful if you want to raise the floor. What about teven ubitlo? Let's say you use straw on the floor and you're mevatel it. You're like, in your head, this is going to stay here for the entire yontif. So then havimiyot. So that works. That's a middle level, right? Teven, straw, something that's in the middle, where people sometimes use, sometimes don't use on, to leave on the floor. So that is, if you're mevatelet, so then that works. For kosher cane, afor a bit low. Certainly, if you put dirt and you're mevatelet, right? Dirt is the third level, where for sure everybody's just leaving dirt on the floor. No one's actually going to pick up a dirt and use it. So then, if you're mevatel that, if you have in your mind that it's going to stay there the entire week, so then for sure dirt is good to use to raise the floor. Now, what about the following case? What about if you use tevin, which again is the middle type of item that sometimes you leave on the floor, sometimes you don't? The ein asid lifnoso, and you're not really going to leave it, and you're not really going to lifnoso to take it away in the future. Meaning, he's not mevatel it per se. He's not mevatel it with his mind to say that it's totally part of the floor now, but he doesn't need this straw whatsoever. Okay, the offer stam, and what about dirt, which you didn't have any intention whatsoever, right? That's kind of like a middle case, right? Where you have either the middle item, right, tevin, right, which you don't really need, or you have dirt, but you didn't actively mevatel it. So what's the deal with that? So then the Gemara says, machlokas Rabbi Yosi Rabbanon. That's a machlokas. Titzan is related to Mishnah. This Mishnah is a little bit more morbid than necessary, but it's the case, the halacha is, where is this, in Irvin? Right, in Ahalos. Yeah, the Mishnah is in Ahalos. Because the halacha is that if there's a dead body in a room, so as long as you have at least one tefach of space between the body and the top, so the tumah, right, stops, right, this is what's considered to be an ohel over the mace, and the tuma stops at the top of the ohel. If, however, for whatever reason, the grave is filled all the way up, right, and so then the tuma goes straight through, all the way up, straight through, you know, up and down, right, ad l'shamayim, and down through the ground. So what happens, as says the Mishnah, bayis shemiluhu tevin otzroros. Right, again, tzoros is like offa, right? So tzoros is it literally means pebbles, but it's the same thing as dirt in our case. So let's say you have a mace in a room or a mace in a house, right? And you fill that house with straw or dirt or rocks. Ubitlo, and you're mevatel it. So in that case, mevutel. That case is batel, and therefore, right, that house is considered to be completely filled in, and the tumah goes through, literally through the roof. Okay, so the Gemara said, implied, the implication is bitlo in lo bitlo lo. Right, that's only if you're mevatel it. Right, Vetani Olam, we learned about this, that Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yossi says, Tevin vein osi defnoso, if you have straw, but you're not going to use that straw later, you're not mevatel it, but you do something a little bit less with that, meaning it's a little bit less of an intention to leave it there. You just don't need it. You didn't actively mevatel it. You didn't actively say, I'm not ever using this straw, but you kind of don't need it. So you left it over there. And what's the din with that? What if you fill the house with that? So then harehu ka ofer stam. That's like ofer stam, ubato, and it's bato. What about the other case? Ofer of asi lifnoso. Let's say you have dirt, which is usually left there, but asi lifnoso, but you're gonna take it away later. So harehu ka stam tevin. That's like the same. That's like the case of tevin, where you had stam intention, where you had no intention whatsoever by straw, velo boto, and then it's not boto. So you have a bunch of cases over here. You have a bunch of levels in the end of this. Really, at the end of this whole situation, right? Again, according, if you're talking about straw, everybody agrees that if you're mevatel both straw and dirt, so then it's good. Everybody agrees that if you need the straw and the dirt right away, so then it's not batel, and that does not good. That does not work to raise the floor. The machlokes between the Tanakam and the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi is in the case where you don't know if you'll need it, or if you have no immediate need whatsoever. Meaning, if it's stam. Or if it's, what's it called? Or if it's ein asi lifnoso. And the question, right, again, just to run through those shitas, right, in terms of raising the floor over there, right, again, in the case, if it's straw and it's ein asi lifnoso, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi have machlokas. If it's stam, so then they both agree that it's not batel. And by dirt, so then they argue by both cases that the Rabbi Yossi is going to say it's batel, and Tanakama says, it's not both of them. Okay, but then if you have if you could draw it like a little chart, right? So that's usually helpful in terms of these cases. Okay, Baruch Hashem, not so nogei lahalacha, not so many of us are needing to raise the floor. But okay, we'll see it. And as the Gemara continues today, there are other things that are much more, I say, nogei lamaisa, in terms of affecting the height and the kashrus of a sukkah. So the Gemara says like this. Let's say the sukkah was 20 amos tall and it was no good. And you have pieces of the schach that are hanging down within 20 amos. So again, so you have the schach on top, right? Again, for those who use a mat of reeds or like bamboo shoots, so this is hard to imagine, but there are a lot of people who use actual palm leaves and, actual, you know, tree leaves, etc. So if you have some of the schach kind of hanging down inside of 20 amos, right? Let's say that part of the schach is 19 amos, so that should be fine. So the Gemara says, in silsam meruba mechamson, if you take these leaves that are hanging over into the kosher area and you view them as their own single unit, if those leaves have enough shade, meaning if that hangover, if that spillover is enough to make more shade than sun, then kshera. But if that's not enough, man, you need to rely on the schach that's too high to make enough shade, so then psula, then obviously the sukkah is no good. Now, the other case, now the opposite case, we have a minimum sukkah, right? If you have a sukkah that's 10 tvachim, the minimum shear for a sukkah is 10 tvachim, right? We said 7 by 7 tvachim width and length, and then 10 tvachim of height. So the minimum shear is 10 tvachim. You have a sukkah that is right on the minimum shear. And now you have a hutz in yordin l'toch yud. Now you have the same case where you had with 20 amos, and you have the leaves, right, the schach, going down less than 10 tvachim. So Savra Abaye Lemeimer, Abaye thought to say that Im Chamsa Meruba Mitzelson, if the sunlight is more than the shade, meaning what that means is that the schach less than 10 tefachim is inconsequential, right? Because you, underneath you still have more shade, more sun than shade, and therefore the schach is no good, and the only good schach is at 10 tefachim, which would make a kasher sukkah. So Abaye thought to say that in that scenario, ksheira, that it would be fine. So the Rava said to him, no, hadira srucha, ain't adam dar, but dira srucha. No, that's a lousy dwelling. Nobody lives in that type of dira, right? And therefore, right, again, with if you can't even get, right, if you're supposed to live, right, Teshuva came to do, you're supposed to live like you live in a house. If you can't even get the leaves out of your face because it's less than 10 tefachim, so that is, that's no good. And it says Rava, and that sukkah isn't going to be possible. Okay. Now, the meat and potatoes of our daf today. Now, this is where we have the pictures in the middle of the Gemara. Excuse me, you have itztava ba'emtza and itztava minatzad. Let's say the sukkah is more than 20 amos. And what do? You build an itztava, you build a platform. Keneged dofan ha'emtzai, that goes along the middle wall, right? Again, let's say you have a three-wall sukkah, as you see in the picture, and you build a little platform that goes along the middle wall, meaning that platform touches all three walls. Obviously, the minimum shiur for sukkah is three walls. As we're going to see, two walls and a tefach. But either way, you need to have three walls. So you build this platform, it touches all three walls, and then that gets you to less than 20 amos. So it's still a little early. V'yesh b'hechzer sukkah, and that platform gets you to less than 20 amos tall, and it's also 7 by 7, right? It's the minimum shear length and width, 7 by 7 tefachim. So then, kshera, then that sukkah is kosher. Well, obviously, isn't that obvious, right? If you have 7 by 7, right, and nobody says the sukkah has to rest on the floor, right? If you have a platform that's 7 by 7 and it's less than 20 amos tall, so obviously, shouldn't that sukkah be good? So Rashi is something interesting. It says very, very fascinating that not all Rishonim agree, but Rashi says that not only is the part where you have the platform good, it's the part where you don't have the platform is also good. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say later on that there's a concept called pasul hayotze min a sukkah nidon kesukkah. That if you have some pasul area of a sukkah that comes out of a kosher sukkah, so that area is okay. So Rashi over here says that the chiddush is that not only will the part of the platform be good, but the other part of the sukkah will also be good. Right? Some Rishonim are not so happy with this. Right? It goes back and forth as well to discuss. Okay, if you want to check it out. So the second case, uminatzad. Let's say now you build this platform on the side. Now, like the second picture you have in your Gemara, that it's only touching two walls. So what do? Right, that's technically, right, you only have two of the walls where the sukkah is less than 20 amos. So what's going on? So is the sukkah kosher or not? So the Gemara says, "Miyesh misfas itztava lakut al dalet amos pesula. Pachas me'arba amos kosher." The Gemara says, it depends. If you have from the platform, the edge of the platform, to the other wall, which it's not attached to, what's the space, what's the distance between that open space, between the edge of the platform and the other wall? If it's less than dalet amos, so then it's fine. If it's more than dalet amos, then it's not fine. So Gemara says, I'll explain why is that true. So the Gemara is going to explain it in a second. Right, my Kamash Malan, what are you teaching me? That it depends on how far the edge of the platform is, if it's Dalet Amos away from the wall or not. So Darmina Dofen Akuma, you're telling me that we apply the halacha of Dofen Akuma, which I'll explain in exactly what it is. Tanina, we learned this halacha already. Bais Shenifchas, let's say a house caves in. And all of a sudden, you have an unwelcome skylight. Well, it's only unwelcome during the rest of the year. But let's say it's sukkahs. So you have a skylight that kind of the ceiling caved in. V'sikei chagabav, and all of a sudden, all right, you know what? I'll figure out how to make this work. I'll put schach on top. So yesh min hakotel l'siguch dalet amos. If you have dalet amos between the schach and the wall, right? Obviously, it's in the middle of a room, let's say, for example. So if you have dalet amos between the wall and the schach, so then psula, then it's no good. Apakos mikan, but if it's less than dalet amos, Kshera, then it's good, right? There's a concept called Dofen Akuma, Talakol Amosh Misinai, that we view, right, if the wall is less than 4 amos away from kosher schach, we view as if the wall is bent, literally means a bent wall, and we view if it's the wall is bent, and it's as if the wall goes right up to the schach, So that's halacha tova lakuma. But we learned this already. Right, this is already a Mishnah in Daf Yud Zayin. Or Brisa, I guess. Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin. So what are you telling me over here? If you have less than Dalet Amos between the platform to the other wall, well, yeah, obviously, the halacha of Dofa Nakuma, right? We know that halacha. You don't need to teach me that. So Gemara says, yeah, ma'u zetema ha'asam hu dechazi ledofen. But why? What's the chiddush over here? Right, by that case where the skylight opens up, the wall caves in, you put schach on top, so there's already four walls in that room. The question simply is, how close is the wall to the schach? So we say the Ofen Akuma, that the wall is viewed as if it's bent. If it's less than Dalet Amos, then it connects to the schach. But here, what's the case? Right, the sukkah is more than 20 Amos. The wall is technically not a good wall. You might have thought that Dofen Akuma doesn't apply, since that wall is not actually a halachically good wall. So Gemara says, therefore, Kamash Malan, right, teaches us that no, it still will work, right, if you have this platform set up, and that the wall that's on the other side, right, still will count as one of the walls connecting to the platform, and it'll be fine. Now, what about this case? Again, it's obviously very, as you can see, it's already good to have some sort of picture helper. They're selling right down the block. They're selling this picture book with computer generated images. Right? Again, if you have any type of visual aid, will definitely help. But anyway, I'll try as best I can to explain. Let's say you have a sukkah that's bigger than 20 amos. Now you build the platform in the middle. If there is dalet amos from the platform, right, in each direction, right, if there's more than Dalet Amos, again, the platform's in the middle, and there's more than Dalet Amos from that platform to each side of the sukkah, so then psula, then it's no good. Pachos me'arba amos k'shera, but if it's less than four amos, then it's good. Skumar says again, ma'ik mashmalan, right, what are you teaching me? Da'amrin dofen akuma? You're telling me that we can view the wall as if it's bent, if it's less than four amos, it's as if it's connected to the schach area? Yeah, hainu hach, that's the same halacha we just talked about. Skumar says, no, ma'u detema, you might have thought that dofen akuma v'ruach achas amrinan. But you might have thought that we only see Dofen Akuma from one side, from one wall. Right? But how do I know that you'd have to we say Dofen Akuma from all four walls? So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore this case teaches me that, yeah, you can say Dofen Akuma from all four sides. Okay, fine. So Kamash says, if you're wondering, the Rishonim do ask that the case we brought before, right, where you had a skylight cave in, right, and you put a schach, right, to the chora, that should also be a case where you're trying to get to all four walls, right, or at least all three walls, right, in the room. Okay, so let me ask this question, right, Nechanami, and check it out. It could be that the way they answered the last question is that just like in that case of the house, the walls are already kosher for a sukkah, right? In this case, right, what's the case? The case is that the sukkah is more than 20 amos, so all four walls are not good walls. So the Pashas says the Gemara would answer that again, that this Mishnah teaches me, right, one extra, that this halacha, right, teaches me one above and beyond, right, that you can make a wall that's not kosher, right, into a wall that is kosher, right, through Dofen Akuma, right, even from all four sides. Okay. Ha'isa b'chusam yud tvachim. Now what about the opposite direction? Let's say you had a sukkah that was less than 10 tvachim. Again, that's too short, right? It needs to be at least 10 tvachim tall. V'chokak ba kidei la'ashlim ala asara. And now you're digging, right, the floor. Right, you dig. Right, what are you going to do? You can't, for whatever reason, you can't make the schach any higher. So you dig the floor out to make it into 10 tvachim. So im yesh misfas chagak ulakotel gimel tvachim psula. If you have between the space where you dug to the wall, it's 3 tvachim, right? Let's say you dug out a little area in the middle. So if this space between where you dug to the wall of the sukkah is 3 tvachim, then it's psula, then it's possible. Pachas mishlosh tvachim, but if it's less than 3 tvachim, then kesher, then it's fine. What the Gemara says immediately notices the difference. Before you're telling me it's Dalet Amos. Now you're telling me it's 3 tvachim. What's going on over here? Right? If you're talking about Dofen Akuma, right? So then the shear was 4 Amos. Here, you're telling me that it's only 3 tvachim. So what's the difference? So now, just to point out, Rashi says over here, because, and I'll ruin it a little bit for you, first Rashi on the Amud says, Kolavud, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, because here we're using a different halachic principle called lavud. Lavud we encountered in Erevin, that we connect something that's less than three tzvachim away, right? You can connect it. Okay, so that's already okay. So, but what's the difference? Meaning, going up, going down, it should seemingly be the same halacha. So, Kumar says, "Hasam deisei ledofen pachas me'arba amos sagi," right? Because over there, right, so where the wall is a wall, right? It is a halachic wall, right? Even though you know it's not good for a sukkah, right? It's more than 20 amos tall, but it is a proper wall. So, therefore, pachas me'arba amos. Sagi, right? Then the shear is four amos, because again you can say what's it called, of dofen akuma. But here, what are you trying to do? L'shvuye l'dofen. Here you're trying to make it a halachic wall. Halachic wall, if you remember from Erevin, right? A mechitza is 10 tefachim. So to make something into a halachic wall, so then pachas mishlosh tefachim in ilolo. You don't apply dofen akuma if it's not an actual wall, right? To create something, to make, give something the halachic status of a wall, that's going to be lavud. That's going to be within three tzvachim. That's not going to be dalet amos. Okay. Vayter. Haisa gavoa me'asrim amos. Now back to the height thing. Right? If it was more than 20 amos, ubana ba amud, and you build some sort of platform, shehu gavoa asar tzvachim, that is more than 10 tzvachim tall. Right? We talked about it. It's tzvachim aleph. Right? Presumably that was 2, 3, 4 tzvachim, whatever it is, whatever you needed to get under the 20 amos, the 20 amma range. Now what you're doing is you're building a platform that not only does it get you under the 20 amma size, right, now in and of itself is big enough to be a sukkah, meaning it's 10 tefachim tall. Right, in that area is 7 by 7, and it's also 10 tefachim tall. The yesh bo hechsher sukkah, meaning it's 7 by 7. So again, it's a platform in the middle of the sukkah. It's 10 tefachim tall. It's 7 by 7 wide and long. That's again the shear for a proper sukkah. So sover abaye lemeimar good asik mechitza. And Rabbi thought to say, maybe you apply the concept of good asik. What is good asik? When you have a proper mechitza, and this is why it's important that it has to be 10 tefachim tall. If something is 10 tefachim tall, we view that mechitza as if it goes up l'shamayim. So basically, what you have here is you have, again, imagine you're standing on a platform that's 10 tefachim tall, it's 7 by 7. So what do we view? We view it as if the walls don't go 10 tefachim up, the sides of the platform go all the way up to the schach. So Abaye thought to say, again, you think you're sitting in, you're sitting on an open platform with no walls? No, halakhically, those walls on the side of the platforms go all the way up. It's as if you're enclosed in the minimum, in a proper sukkah that's 7 by 7, 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim tall. The 10 tefachim is not the shear for the sukkah. You're not sitting inside of the mechitza, but but for the mechitzas to apply good asik, you need to have a proper mechitza. That's why you need the 10 tefachim height. And if it's 7 by 7, so then it's the size of a proper sukkah, right? It's 20 amos minus 10 tefachim, right? You're sitting in a proper sukkah. So Abaye thought to say good asik. So Amalei Arava be'inan mechitzos hanikaros v'leka. Arava says, no, in that case, we're not going to apply good asik because you can't even see the walls. You can't even see the mechitzas. But when are you going to apply good asik? That's if you have a standalone wall, you can see the mechitza, you can see it, and then we're going to apply, okay, that goes, we're going to say that goes all the way up. But here, what's going on? You're sitting on top of a platform. You don't see any walls. You see the sides of the platform. That's not nikeris. You can't see those mechitzas. And in that case, according to Rava, we're not going to apply good asik and say that they go all the way up to the schach. Tanu Rabbanan. Now, we learned that a b'risa, once we're talking about good asik, let's see. With the b'risa, says like this. Not arba kundisin v'sikech agabon. If you planted 4 pegs into the wall, not into the wall, into the ground, excuse me. V'sikech agabon. You put 4 pegs in the ground, and then you throw schach on top of it. Right? You pull tight one of those mats. Rabbi Yaakov makshir v'chachamim poslim. Rabbi Yaakov says, that's fine. And the chachamim say, it's puzzle. Now, what in the world is Rabbi Yaakov thinking? So we'll get to that at the end of our daf today, by the two dots. But obviously, the shock and awe question here is, where are the walls? Right? Obviously, if you just put a bunch of pegs in the ground, and right, you put schach on top, there are no walls here, so what's going on? So that we'll explain at the end. So let's stick with it, though. So now, Amar Ravuna. Ravuna says, Machlokas al sfas hagag. The machlokas is if these pegs are at the edge of a roof. Right? The Rabbi Yaakov Savar Amin and Gudasik Mechista, the Rabbanan Savar Lo Amin and Gudasik Mechista. And we have the exact same machlokas that we just had by Abaye and Rava. Rabbi Yaakov is going to say that if you put these four pegs at the corners of a roof, so we use the walls of the building, right, to go all the way up out of the Shamayim, so therefore, right, we view the walls of the building as if they go up. And so you just affix schach, right, in an area, in a place, in a way that he could stay there, and we're using the walls of the building, we're using good asik to go all the way up. The Rabbanan say no, like Rava, no, you don't have mechitzos nikaros, you don't see any walls anywhere, so therefore we're not going to play good asik. Avo ba'emtza agag, but according to Rav Huna, in the middle of the roof, different egol psula, everybody holds, that's going to be possible because you have no walls here. And there's nothing, right? There's nothing to apply good asik to. For Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, Ba'emtza gav machlokas. Even in the middle of the roof, there's going to be a machlokas. The Gemara says, hold on one second. Ba'emtza gav machlokas, ava asrosa gav divrei kol b'kshera, odumma ben bezu machlokas. When you tell me, Rav Nachman, that the machlokas is in the middle of the roof, so what does that tell me about the case where you put it, the four pegs on the corners, and on the corners of the roof? Is everybody agree that it's kosher? Do the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov both agree that we play good asik? Oh, Dilma, or maybe both of them argue, and they argue in both cases. So Gemara says, Teku, right, we can't understand that. We don't have a way to understand according to Rav Nachman. So Gemara says, one second. So now we go back to trying to figure out where the machlokas applies. Right? It's only a little confusing because we have a machlokas, and then a machlokas about when that machlokas applies. So again, the machlokas Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim, if you put four pegs and throw schach on top, Rav Yaakov says it's fine, the Chachamim say it's not fine. Rav Huna says, that is if you put the pegs on the corners, right? Then Rabbi Yaakov says good asik, the Chachamim say no good asik, but if you put it in the middle of the roof, everybody agrees there's no good asik. Rav Nachman says that the machlokas is in the middle. That even, well, not even, we couldn't figure out whether it's even in the middle, but Rav Nachman says, the machlokas is if you put those pegs in the middle of the roof. So the Gemara says, Meisve, one second. Let's try to figure out where this machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim applies. Not Dalet Kundisin Ba'aretz. Let's say now the Brisa says that you put four pegs in the ground, right? Forget, well, there are no walls. You're in the middle of the desert, or the middle of a plain, of a field. You put four pegs on the ground, and you put schach on top. Rabbi Yaakov, machshir v'chachamim psula. Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher, and chachamim says it's no good. So what's that like? That's like putting four pegs down in the middle of a roof. Right? Right? We see that that's the same case as putting in the middle of the roof. V'chachamachshir, Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yaakov says that it's kosher. Right? Apparently you see that that's exactly what Rav Nachman said. Rav Nachman said that be'emtza agag machlokas, right in the middle of the roof, right, it's a machlokas. Rav Huna had said that everybody agrees that in that case it's possible. So that's tufta to Rav Huna tufta. That's against Rav Huna. Right, that's against Rav Huna, who said that in that case everybody would agree it's possible. The Brisa says clearly that it's still a machlokas. Ve'od, and furthermore, be'emtza hu depligi aval sras agag divrei kol k'shera. Maybe, right, the implication from that Brisa is that the machlokas is only if you put the poles, or the pegs, right, in the middle of the roof. But if you put it at the edge of the roof, maybe everybody would agree that we say good asik. Maybe that's against the first thing Rav Huna said. Right? Because Rav Huna said that the machlokas is if you put it at the edge of the roof. But the implication from our brisa is that they would all agree at the edge of the roof, right, that we say good asik and that it's kosher. Rav Huna would say, no, Rav Huna salvages his first statement. He said, this brisa doesn't necessarily mean, you don't imply from this brisa that if they argue in the middle of the roof, they don't argue at the edge of the roof. Maybe that machlokas also applies at the edge of the roof as well. And the only reason the Mishnah, the brisa quotes the machlokas in the middle of the roof, to tell you how mako Rabbi Yaakov is being, that even if you put those pegs in the middle of the roof, Rabbi Yaakov is still going to be machshir. So now the Gemara still hasn't explained why Rabbi Yaakov would say that that type of sukkah is kosher, right? Where are the walls? So let's explain right now. So Tana Rabbanan with under Brisa, not arba kundisin ba'aretz v'sikach al-gabon, right? Like we just the Brisa we just quoted. If you put four poles in the ground, and four pegs in the ground, and he put schach on top of it. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Rowan Kol She'ilu Yechokku V'Achloku. Right, we view as if it is hollowed out, and you split them. And if you have one tevach going in this direction, one tevach going that direction, nidonin mishum diomad. We judge them as if they are diomad. Ve'imlav, and if not, ein nidonin mishum diomad. Then we do not view them as if they are diomad. What in the world is going on over here? So if you remember from Erevin, so the Gemara, and towards the beginning of Erevin, pointed out that when people were on the way to Yerushalayim, right, to the Ola Regel, if they were traveling on Shabbos, so they had a problem getting water from a well. The well, obviously, is Rishus HaYochid, and depending on where the Rishus HaYochid is, where the well is situated, right, you're going to draw the water from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim. Right? Let's say the well is just off the road. Right? The Rishus HaRabim, or at least a Carmelist or something, Midirav Asim, Midirav Banan, right, it's going to be a problem to get water from the Rishus HaYochid to the you know, above the well. Bottom line. So Chazal allowed people to make something called diomad. They would basically make four L-shaped pieces of wood, let's say, and put them at the corners around the well, the mouth of the well, right, making like of a square. Right now, the halacha over there was that you needed an amma in each direction. You needed an amma, like again, if you have imagine, it's probably better to say a yud-shaped piece of wood. You have an amma one way, an amma going down, right? And that looks, obviously, that's a yud. So you put those at the four corners, that would make it into like a square, and Chazal were mekel, right? So that's the way that they could get water on Shabbos. So that's a diomed. That's what they called it, diomdin or something like that. So Rabbi Yaakov takes that concept and applies it to sukkah, that if you have, if the peg or the pole that you're putting in the ground has enough to make not an amma but a tefach in both directions. Again, top pashas because Chazal were more machmer by Shabbos. You needed an amma in both directions, so people would actually see that what's going on over here. But here by sukkah, you can have a tefach in both directions, according to Rabbi Yaakov. So that is how it works. That's the halachic device and where you could put down four poles and throw schach on top, because we view if it has one tefach in one direction and one tefach of wood in the other direction, so that's going to view as if there are legitimate partitions and legitimate walls. Back in the Gemara, just to finish the two dots, Shahir Rabbi Yaakov Omer, the Yom de Sukkah Tefach, Rechachamim Omerim Ashi Yushtaim Kilachos and Shlishis Afil Tefach. Rabbi Yaakov says that you could do this whole diomed thing by a sukkah if you have one tefach in each direction. The Chacham say that does not work. Right, the minimum shear for a sukkah is obviously three walls, two normal walls, and the third one can be a tefach, as we'll discuss. But have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.